Hey, welcome to the Faith NFM podcast. We appreciate your time today, and we encourage you to head on over to faithnfm.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links to all that's happening around Faith Assembly. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Man, it's Baptism Sunday. It's always like one of my favorite Sundays. It's exciting. Woo! I get a little jazzed. So if I'm a little like extra, that's why. We have four people getting baptized first service, about 14 getting baptized second service. And so God's doing some really cool things. In fact, we were like, hey, we don't need to do a baptism until August. We had so many people sign up right after our next baptism, our last baptism. They were like, hey, well, let's just do it earlier, because scripture says you commit your life to Jesus, then you are to go and be baptized. And so we believe that here. We want to help you every step of the way. Welcome. My name is Blake. It is always a privilege to be with you today. And if you're interested in getting baptized, we have everything for you. We have, I believe, breath mints. We have body spray. We have t-shirts and shorts. We have towels. We have everything you need. So don't let anything stop you from taking your next step following Jesus today. Hey, we are in this series in the book of James. One thing that's really been pressed upon my heart is to really go through this summer and look at God's word. I don't say this lightly. There's some things that have kind of hit the church world these past couple weeks with guys who have certain privileges and guys who have kind of come to the limelight. My prayer for you every day is that you put your hope in Jesus, that you trust in his infallible word, that you look at me as a guy that is imperfect. I got problems. I got issues. I'm trying to figure them out with you as well. But I know I have a redeeming Lord and Savior, and his name is Jesus. So church, don't let people hinder your relationship with God. Keep your hope always in Jesus. So we're looking at God's word. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, studying what God's word says. And we thought, hey, let's look at the book of James. James is filled with about 54 imperatives. In other words, do this and your life will be better. Do this and this is what it means to follow Jesus. Do this, do that. And it's encouragement to a lot of people who are displaced, a lot of people who have some issues, a lot of people who are messed up, mixed up, running for their lives in certain situations. It's one of those books that if you were to read it and really let it be alive in your life, you would almost have to read it standing up. I would encourage you, like, take that word and be like, whoo, God, let that word be fresh in my life. It is a powerful book, and it's full of biblical wisdom. We're in this reading plan. Maybe you're too late to the reading plan. I encourage you, start with a friend, start with your spouse, start with some family. Dive into the book of James this summer. We'll be in about 12 weeks of it, all the way through the end of August. We need some wisdom today in this day and age, right? Come on, can I get an amen on that, church? So James chapter 1, kind of overview. James hits us right in the face and says, hey, there's going to be trials in life. How many of us know there's going to be some stuff that we face in life, right? Like, you might be in stuff right now. You might be going through some hurts and pains right now. And then he says, what happens in the trials also leads into temptation, that our minds get overwhelmed with anxiety and struggles and issues, and then temptation comes upon our life, and you have to be on guard against that temptation. And then once you have temptation, have you ever been tempted to react in an angry way? Some of you are like, no. I'm like, yes, you have. Yeah. So I never shared this story publicly, so I'm a little reserved because it's not a real proud moment in my life. My wife and I, we used to live in Las Vegas for about 6 years. I always joke around, if you've been here, I got another dad joke. We met in Vegas, you know what I mean, you know, but we met working at a church. But anytime we would leave Vegas, we'd hop a flight, we'd go to Missouri, about 20 hours driving. So we'd go see my family that lived in Missouri, and we were in Vegas. So we'd take flights. Anytime you were flying out of Vegas, it was always a really quiet, somber flight. Like, everybody's like, they partied hard all week long. Anytime you're flying into Vegas, woo, you are on a party bus. And for us who were considered locals, we were like, oh, dude, we got to take the flight back to Vegas. Well, we're flying back to Vegas. And at the time, I had a one-year little lap child, Bodhi. He was our oldest. And he's sitting on our lap, and it's a two-seat kind of side of the plane. And there's a couple in front of us. They're about 50 years of age. And they were doing some hanky-panky, kissing, weird. You know, at this point, like, their hand would come over the seat. Brittany would swat it away. It was, like, getting, like, pretty extreme. Like, to the point where I'm, like, punching the headrest. Now, in a plane, okay, about 30 minutes into the flight, the hand comes over, hits my kid in the head. I saw red. Saw red. Again, like, I'm serving as a pastor at the time. Saw red. I punched the seat. I do what every real man does. I flick the guy in the back of the head, and I stand up, and I'm like, I don't care if we're taking this thing down at 30,000 feet. Buddy, we're about to go. Get your stuff together. And then I said some words that I cannot ever really repeat again. My wife looks at me. I'm like, me? Like, girl, do you know? And like, I was like, saw red, anger right there. Have you ever had a moment like that? You see red, anger that just seeps to the surface, and you're like, why'd I do this? Why'd this happen? Why'd I react that way? You ever been there? I think we've all had certain moments in life where it's like, wow, I'm disappointed in how I responded. Now, if you're asked me if I'm really disappointed, like, it's still a wrestle, but I would say there are some things and some words I should have held back at that moment. I mean, I got high fives from everybody when I was on that plane. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Come to my church. You know, like, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You know, like, but it was those moments. You ever acted in anger where you're irrational? You say something that you regret, where you disappoint somebody, you are mean-spirited, and there's anger that wells up in your life. Have you ever been there? If you've been married, I know you've been there. Like, there's these moments in life where if we don't pay attention to how we process, how we navigate, when there's trials, when there's temptations, if we are not aware of anger, then we need to understand that it can lead to some consequences in our life. It can lead to some issues in our life. And that's what James leads us into, that you might have every reason to be angry in life, but anger is something that you really have to slow down and process. So before we talk today about how our faith it navigates and how it works in anger, I want to pause here and first say this. There might be some of us in here who have some anger issues, have some things that, man, you came to church angry. Maybe you're riding in the car and you're frustrated from life's events. First, I want to encourage you with this. James talks about God being our Father. James talks about the Father of heavenly lights, a Father that accepts us in the very first chapter. And in other words, what he's saying is, no matter what kind of mistakes you've made out of anger or processing or irrational thinking, when you saw red and the brain is firing and you're reacting and you're regretting doing some of those things, you have a Father that says, hey, right here, open hands, I love you. I care for you. You might have a past, but it doesn't have to remain here in the present. So maybe you're in here and you've made some mistakes and you've gone through it. Know that God sees you. God loves you. He's a Father to you. It's the way that I want to operate with my children. When they make a mistake, when they react, when they do something irrational, when they do something in anger, I want to get down on my knees and say, fellas, I'm right here. Baby girl, I'm right here. My hands are open for you. I will embrace you. I love you. That's the perfect example that God our Father gives us. So maybe you're messed up, mixed up, have issues. I don't know what it might be today. You have a Father that loves you and cares for you. Secondly, James, he highlights for us in chapter 1 that God loves us. God sees us. That despite our mistakes, despite what we've done in life, he loves you. James says, my beloved brothers, my beloved sisters, my beloved community, I care for you. I love you. God loves you. And some of us need to know that because you're haunted right now because you've done some things out of your anger in life that's been extremely frustrating for you. And maybe if we're being completely real, you haven't recovered from that mistake you've made. So church, now more than ever, when we're reading the book of James and we're studying and we're looking at it, I want to encourage you that, hey, your faith works in your anger. Your faith can lead you. And it's the importance of realizing who Jesus is that can change your response when things get frustrating in life. So let's talk today. How does faith work when I'm angry? First, faith channels my anger in the right direction. Faith channels my anger in the right direction. Being angry is not wrong necessarily. Being angry is not wrong necessarily. In fact, there's two real reasons, like, you know, what anger highlights. Anger shows what we really care about. Anger shows what we really care about. I came home from work the other day, and my boys took my golf clubs. They're in the middle in the front of our house, and they're playing swords with each other. And my youngest is chasing my oldest around, trying to hit him with the sword. And my oldest is down the street and laughing at him and antagonizing him. And dad turns the corner. Who gets mad? Dad, I call the boys back here and I said, hey, take some of mom's decorative stuff that's been hanging out here in the garage. You go play with that. Give me my golf clubs back, right? But I was frustrated. I was angry at that time, but it showed me what I care about. Pastor Blake cares a little too much about golf. Care about my stuff. Anger also is something that is done. It's a good, it's our deeds. It's how we feel. We feel angry. We respond to anger. You know, like someone cuts you off and you want to give them the number one sign. You know, like, hey, whoa, Southwest Florida. And then you roll up to the stoplight and you're like, oh, that's Grandma Ethel. Like, we need to just pause and like lower it down a little bit. You know, there's some things that we look at, anger. So we see trials, temptations, but you have to be noticing how your anger plays out when it comes to your faith and how your faith can work through your anger. It's a theme in the book of James. So, hey, let's dive in. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. I would say this, humbly accept the word planted in you. Right now, if you're listening, the word is being planted in you. And you can have a response. You can say, humbly, I'm going to receive what God has in store for me today, or I'm going to be the person that's going to dismiss it. That's why James says, you have to humble yourself before the Lord and say, you got to receive this word that is being planted right now in your life. Because he goes on, he says, this humble word that's planted in you can save you, can save you. So many times we miss that. We miss that God's word is a saving. It's a life vessel to us. So let's talk about unrighteous. Let's talk about a couple types of anger that we see. First, one anger we see is this unrighteous anger. We call it human anger. It's this anger of jealousy. Ever been jealous before? Oh, they get this. They get this. It's envy. Oh, you know, it's this bitterness. How is my ex finding people and you remain single? Or it's this entitlement. I deserve this and I deserve that. And we see this, so there's this natural response that we have is known as human anger, or what James would deem as unrighteous anger. And it's something that we have to check and something that we have to evaluate in our lives, if it's human anger, if it's unrighteous anger. But then he talks about a second type of anger, and it's God's righteous anger. And I like to describe this one simply as, what angers God? What does God, quote unquote, lose sleep over? The number one quoted verse that we see throughout Scripture comes from Exodus 34, 6. Now, keep in mind, the number one verse that other writers respond to, look at, is this God is slow to anger. Think about it, there's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, right? I think we could all agree, like, hey, it can be life transforming if you receive it, accept it, and accept the seed planted in your life. Life transforming. A lot of good stuff. But this one that's quoted most by other authors, God is slow to anger. you know, false gods, other religions, false religions, they start with you in the negative balance. They say, you know what, you got to earn your way, you got to appease God, you got to do all these works, you got to be able to fulfill all these commands, and then you will make, hopefully, that deity happy. In our faith, our relationship with Jesus is saying, hey, let's just be forthright. Jesus says, you'll never make and please God happy. I'll come in, I'll do that for you. I care for you. I love you. Sees that, identifies that. Number one quoted verse that we, or number one quoted note that we see in Scripture. God of the Bible, he's kind, he's compassionate. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Like, are we showing contempt? Are we kind of just this mill kind of feeling of, hey, God's super kind to me, I'm just going to take that for granted. I like to illustrate it this way. My wife and I, when we first started dating, she was super kind. I was a knucklehead, still am at times a knucklehead. And I didn't know how good it was until, like, you know, we had to have some serious conversations. And there was a lot of patience. She was giving me a lot of grace and super kind and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to date you. And really, I had a lot of fear because if I dated her and then what would happen is I know I was going to marry this girl. And I was like, I don't know if I want to get married, you know, everything like that, overwhelming. So she gave me a lot. She's always super kind, always super kind. And now we're married. Guess who's always super kind? Guess who's always super kind? My wife. She started kind. She is kind because she was so kind. When I married her, it was like, man, this is just, how could you put up with me? I was such a knucklehead. I didn't realize how good I have it until luckily I made the choice. Luckily I could. And I think that's a lot of times where it is with God. Like, I don't think we understand how much grace he's given us, how much love he's given us, how much kindness he's given us. And then when you have a relationship, you're like, man, I wish I would have figured this out like a month ago, 3 years ago. I wish I wasn't a knucklehead back in the day. Don't show contempt for God's kindness. He's compassion. So the question is, you know, what makes God mad? What makes God mad? In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, we see Jesus. He shows up at a synagogue church service, and these religious folk look at Jesus and like, hey, is he going to perform a miracle? If he's going to perform a miracle, a healing of this man, then man, he's blasphemy, he's not of God. And Jesus says, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. So what makes God mad? What makes God mad? Unfortunately, if you study the scriptures and look at Jesus living life, what makes God mad is a lot of religious people. Pharisees, Sadducees. In other words, those people who are hypocrites, prideful individuals, thinking they got it all together. That's why James, he comes back and he says, humbly accept the word that's planted in you. It's humility, not thinking that we have it all together. So when we talk about human anger and we talk about God's unrighteous anger, we have to ask ourselves, it drives us to this point of, do I get mad at what God gets mad about? Do I get frustrated at what frustrates God? Do I get hung up on things that if Jesus was hanging out with me, sitting in the room, flesh and bones, he would elbow me and say, man, just chill. Calm down. So James gives us a couple practical ways that we navigate and channel our anger. The first way is this, channel my anger by listening. Channel my anger by listening. When we ask God, like our response, are we people that speak first or are we people that listen first? James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now you have to put it in context. James, back then, they didn't have the canonical scriptures. They didn't have the Bible printed in a bunch of different translations in English for us so we could really understand it. It was oral tradition, or it was written down in certain segments and manuscripts. And so when James is saying this, he's like, hey, if someone comes preaching, someone says, knows Jesus, someone is declaring and reading, you need to be someone that's quick to listen, quick to hear, quick to lock in what is being said. All communication of the gospel was oral at this time. That's why James says, hey, if someone listens, if someone can capture, if someone can hear, then your life can be transformed. My mom, she always said this growing up, Blake, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Come on. Maybe your mama said that to you. Maybe your mama said this to you. I love what this rabbi proverb says. Men have two ears but one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak. The ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and keep it in proper bounds. We're going to be talking about the power and the ruthlessness of the tongue here in a few weeks, and I just want to encourage you. When it comes to channeling your anger, are you someone that says, hey, I need to listen first, or am I someone that's I'm going to respond first? You got to listen first. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but the wise man quietly holds back. Bottom line, James is describing to us and all of his listeners is this: an angry spirit is never a listening spirit. There's been moments lately where I've been personally angry, mad. And I'm fortunate that I've had too many encounters prior that I've learned to say, hey God, I'm sitting here, something's playing out in front of me. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. And then I'm kind of leaning on my wife. She's getting frustrated and angry. And you just got to sit there and say, God, I just want to talk to you. God, I just want to listen to your Holy Spirit. God, I just want to lean and lock into what you have. And it's listening first. Secondly, what James gives us a practical way to channel our anger. He says, channel my anger through slowly responding. You don't have to respond instantly and quickly. We live in a day that's instant and quick. Technology online, right? Instant and quick. It's instant, it's constant, it's global, it's permanent. And I think if you're a young person in here, if you're someone who's online a lot, if you're doing the socials, if you're doing the whole thing, you have to remember and take a step back. The negativity gets the clicks. The negativity points the price up. Those are things that attract people. Your mind, your brain, you're wired to lean into negative things in life. You click on the issues. You sort through the problems. And what can happen if you're not really checking your spirit, being led by the spirit, not being someone that is slow to respond but quick to respond, you'll say something, you'll do something that unfortunately is going to get you in some hot water because you're reacting your anger. So James says, hey, channel it in the right direction. You need to be someone that's slow to respond. You need to be someone that is quick to listen. We also see when it comes to our faith and how it works when it comes to anger is faith challenges us to look at our behavior, specifically when we're angry. I want you right now to put something in your mind where you were angry about. Like you're frustrated. You're mad. Like for me, it's the Cincinnati Reds this year, right? It's the Bengals last year. It's like story of my life. I'm always angry at my sports teams. Okay, it's kind of like that. But maybe it's something a little more serious. Maybe it's something that you fought with your spouse about. Maybe it's something that you have going on at work and you're like, man, I could just, how do you respond? Faith, our faith challenges us to assess our behavior in the midst of our anger. How do you respond when you're angry? James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The behavior of faith challenges us to have. I kind of put a little list, a little graphic for you. This is what our faith challenges us to have. You can see it on the screen right here. The behavior faith challenges have. One, learn to listen to others by first listening to God. Your response God first, Holy Spirit, lead me. How should I respond in this? If you could take a step back and say, Holy Spirit, I need your direction, I need your leadership, I need your a movement in my life, it will save you a lot of hurt, troubles, discourse, and issues if you pause and say, God, let me listen to you. Let me not respond in my anger. Two, it's fine to study the Bible if you let the Bible study you. I'll preach. Come on, preacher, man. A lot of us, we're really good at studying the Bible, but are we studying it over our lives? It's this idea of understanding, hey, binoculars versus a mirror. A lot of us are really good. Hey, I got a nice pair of binoculars. I can look in at your life. I can see that plank. I can see you got issues. I know you got some troubles. Yeah, you're not really Christian. I saw you there at the place last night doing your thing, dancing your dance, drinking your drink, acting any way you want to act. But you forget, you were there too. It's binoculars versus the mirror. Find a study of the Bible if you let the Bible study you. What's that saying over your life? What's the behavior over your life? Three, give God's work the majority of your week. Give God's word the majority of your week. I love what I came across from the Center of Bible Engagement. Found if you read God's word four times, minimum four times a week, there are powerful impacts. 61% less likely to be addicted to pornography, 74% less likely to be addicted to gambling, 57% less likely to be addicted to drunkenness, 70% more healthy sexual biblical lifestyle. And in other words, you give God the majority of your week, drastic impacts. See, faith challenges us to look at our behavior. Anger highlights how we respond. Anger highlights our behavior when we're in some tough times. And then for some people need more Bible. Most people need more obedience, right? A lot of people, we know what the Bible says. We know how we should live our life. We know. We don't need another guy telling us, hey, X, Y, and Z leads you to this. Like, no, a lot of us just like, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what James is declaring. This is an imperative that you need to incorporate in your life. Do it, and your life will be okay. Do it, and there will be blessing in your life. Do it, you'll find joy in life. Do it, you'll find peace in life. It's obedience. Obedience. And sometimes it's really wrestling to and challenging when it's like, hey, you know what to do, but we're just not doing it. Luke 11, verse 28, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Obedience, hear plus do. It's an active, it's to be repeated. You know, James, he uses this mirror illustration. He says, hey, sometimes when you go to the mirror, a couple things when we go to the mirror first. When you go to the mirror and your behavior, James is using this illustration. What's a mirror do? It tells you what you need to fix. It tells you how you need to do your hair. It tells you like, whoa, in the morning, you know, right? And that's when we look at the word of God more as rather than I'm saying I'm going to use this and I'm going to spot your problem, I'm going to use this and say, hey, what's something in my heart I need to fix? What's something I need to iron out? What's something I need to do? The mirror tells us our imperfections. But secondly, a lot of us, we get stuck looking at the mirror. We're like, whoo, God bless me. God made me look good. And what happens is you just get stuck looking in the mirror. Studying, but then you can't leave the mirror because you don't know how to live your life apart from the mirror. The word of God is life. It brings life into our lives. It changes us. There's no point to be a good Christian if we're head knowledge, if we have all this stuff up here, but we can't live it outside these walls. You can't live it at work, can't live it with your spouse, can't live it raising your kids. None of that matters. None of that matters. James, anger, faith challenges us to look and address our behavior. How do you respond whenever you're angry, frustrated? Lastly, faith crafts speech, compassion, and holiness. Specifically when we're angry. How does faith work when I'm angry? It makes you address your speech, your compassion, your holiness. James 1, 26 and 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceives themselves, and their religion is worthless. Whew. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In other words, faith crafts speech, compassion, holiness. And in other words, our faith leads to results. I want us to capture that. I want us to understand that if there are not active results in your life, then you got to come back and say, hey, what kind of faith, what kind of obedience am I living throughout my life? See, faith changes the way I talk. Like I like to say, the step on the Lego and you kind of can see what comes out of the mouth, right? Stub your toe when you're walking through the middle of the night. You're like, woo! You know, you can kind of tell. Like, I know in my life, like back in the day, there's some words that weren't nice and very pretty. To now it's like, I'm coming up with some funny words and my boys are like, Dad, what's that mean? I don't know, boy, that must have been the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Because it changes the way you talk. Changes how you talk. The Holy Spirit's leading and reigning, and that anger is happening in your life. James is very clear that, hey, you need to keep a tight rein on what you're saying. We're talking about the destruction. We're talking about some things. You know, I'm pumped because here we have people who are taking their step for baptism. If you're going to be baptized, I just encourage you, you can start getting prepared and getting ready. God's going to do some pretty cool things as we celebrate these lives going public with their faith. Our team will be over here to my right, your left. But when we talk about that, like, look, when we have baptisms, it doesn't mean some habits that you have don't come back up. It doesn't mean that you don't have issues, you no longer have issues. No, it just means that, hey, you're moving from here. You understand that, hey, there's some marks, there's some things you have kind of not going well, some things you got to change about yourself, and some things that you got to work on and lead. And then you're stepping, you're moving. And you're saying, God, I don't want to be the person that my first response is something negative out of my mouth. I don't want to be the first person, my first response is some slander word. I don't want to be the person that I'm having an issue, I'm going on and I'm gossiping. I don't need a person that always tells my opinion. Faith changes the way we talk. It's a result. Faith changes the way you talk when you're angry. Rather than saying things and getting mad and getting frustrated and just ripping off from whatever, you know, shooting from the hip, you're like, okay, let me take a step back. I'm frustrated. How can I say this in a proper way? How can I say this where it is received? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Secondly, faith grows my compassion. James, he mentions the orphans and the widows. At the time, the lowest of the low in society were considered orphans and widows. They couldn't fend for themselves, couldn't own property, didn't have status. Compassion, it's the sympathy, it's this current for those who are less fortunate. So James, he says, hey, if you want to kind of check your results in life, if you're angry about some things, really think about what you're angry about. A way you think about what you have going on in your life. Look at some of those who maybe aren't as privileged in your life. Maybe you should take care of them. Maybe you should love on them. And that will reassess what you're so angry about in life. I think sometimes we have a lot of anger stored up, pent up. And if we, rather than making it about ourselves, look horizontally at those in need, we can say, hey, you know, maybe my situation is just not so bad. It's a results, byproduct of how we live. And then lastly, faith sets us apart. Faith sets us apart. You know, one thing I love is Baptism Sunday. I can't say it enough. Because you have these people who are saying, you know what? A result of my faith, I want to be set apart. I want to be someone that is for Jesus, about Jesus. I'm marking, I'm declaring my life that I'm going to be following Jesus. And this morning, if you want to get baptized, man, we'll baptize you. That's awesome. That's your next step. That's what God wants you to do. If you haven't been baptized, act of obedience. But what faith does, it challenges results in our lives to say, I want to be someone who God's called me to be. I don't want to be stationary. I don't want to be polluted from the world. I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to find the joy. I want to find the peace. I want to see God do some incredible things in my life. I want my nuclear family. I want people to see the difference. I want people to be touched. I want there to be a difference in my community, in my household, in the way I think, in the way I talk, my compassion and love for others. My friends, faith changes and crafts the way we talk, our compassion, and of course, it sets us apart to not just keep it in here, but to live it out there. So today, during baptisms, I'm going to close this in a moment in prayer. If you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, I'm just going to encourage you. Fill out a connect card. At the end of our service, we'll have our prayer team over here to my left, your right. They would love to pray with you. They would love to just talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But here, when we're getting ready to baptism, we have a big thing around here. Okay, set apart. Like we try to get loud. Like we have the kids come in. You'll probably hear an air horn going off. Like we love to have a little fun. You know, because we're celebrating people saying, I want to be set apart. My faith is going to change the way I respond to my anger. My faith is going to change the way I live my life. My faith is going to leave an impact. So right now, let's pray together. Let's move into baptisms. And God's going to continue to do things here in Southwest Florida because our faith is at work. And James encourages each and every one of us. Let's pray. God, we give you this moment right now. Lord, we just call on you to move in our lives. Lord, we're so thankful for those who are making a decision to be baptized. Lord, we want to be people who are radically changed, that when that anger surfaces, how do we respond? Lord, we're asking right now, may our faith in your son Jesus just radically move. May the Holy Spirit come in upon our lives. May every step that we take just be orchestrated and of you. And even though that we fall down, even though that we will make mistakes, even though that we're imperfect people in progress, we know we have a loving Father who accepts us time and time again. And God, right now, as we celebrate those getting ready to be baptized, I'm praying specifically for those who have some anger issues going on. I'm praying specifically for those who need to make a decision to follow you. And Lord, we're praying right now a blessing and anointing and a move over those being declared set apart through public baptism. Be with us today as we celebrate what's taking place and the lives that are being changed here at our church. We give you today and the days to come. In your great and holy name, Jesus, we all say it.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone concerning this message, we invite you to fill out our online communication card at faithnfm.com. And if you're able, we'd love to have you with us in person on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or on the best night of the week for Wednesday prayer at 7 p.m. We're at 7101 Bayshore Road in North Fort Myers, just 2 miles west of I-75 at exit 143. Thanks again for listening.